My name is Sean Sharma. I'm 17 years old, and today is May 19th, and I'm speaking with my dad, Rajesh Sharma. We are recording this interview in Westminster, Colorado, and my first question to my dad is, when and where were you born, and where did you grow up specifically?
February 2nd, 1969, Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. I mainly grew up in the South, in Mississippi and Alabama.
Growing up in Alabama, were you happy with the opportunities that were provided by your community? Did you ever feel as if where you grew up, you had opportunities that were available in other communities?
No, I was not happy. I had limited opportunities in a very small, rural, county-based high school in northern Alabama, so my opportunities were limited.
What did Baba and Dadi think of Alabama? What drew them to that location?
Work. My father got a job there in Athens, Alabama.
And were you happy with where you grew up as in general or not really?
I was always happy. I had a wonderful parents and wonderful family, and so I was always happy. No complaints.
How was your education in Alabama? Did you feel as if your school specifically suffered from lack of resources?
Poor.
Very poor?
Yeah.
Why?
Very rural, small high school. Limited opportunities, limited curriculum. But I excelled the best I could.
Adding on to that last question, growing up in a smaller rural town in Alabama, did you ever feel as if the widespread poverty was very noticeable? Did your neighbors or anyone nearby struggle with issues relating to poverty, and did it impact your beliefs politically or socially?
Yes, very deep poverty, large African-American community, impoverished. Over 60% of my class were on free meals, you know? So it was a very poor environment. But, you know, I made the best of the situation. And did it impact my political influences? Well, you know, every experience impacts your personality and your behaviors and your beliefs. But, you know, it was part of my system. But in terms of its long-term impact, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
So you think that you're upbringing or where you grew up specifically shaped your views, or not that much?
Not really. My views were mainly developed throughout young adulthood.
As far as being an Indian family in a predominantly black and white community, did you ever have racist encounters?
No. I mean, there were racist children growing up with them, but they never bothered me.
What types of things would they say to you?
No, they would talk about the KKK rally Sunday night.
Was it a large population?
No,
not really.
No, but it was a very uneducated community.
Yeah.
But no one affected me.
Did you ever feel unwelcome in the community or not really?
When I went to go to a private golf course.
What happened?
The owner said, "We don't take niggers here." So we did not get to play golf in 10th grade. My friend and I couldn't play.
Yep.
So it was a private golf course. It was the only golf course in Athens, Alabama.
What year was that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that was the only impact that faced racism, but that was from a total stranger.
Yeah, what year was that? Do you remember?
85.
85. Do you have any other stories of yourself having to change your identity or act like someone else to fit into the community?
No.
No, not really?
No.
So in school, did you ever feel unwelcome being one of the only Indian kids, or did you make friends?
I wasn't chasing friends. I didn't have any friends.
Like,
I made the best of the situation. I had a wonderful mother and father. They gave me a great childhood, and I was fulfilled.
Were you ever called?
I didn't need any friends.
Were you ever called the names for your appearance or race?
not really. Not personally, no.
Hmm. Do you ever give...
There was a time in 1979 during the Iran hostage crisis.
What happened?
People thought I was Arab or Iranian.
Hmm.
You know, that was due to ignorance.
Did you ever correct them or no? You just let them think whatever they wanted to think?
Let them think whatever they wanted to, yeah.
Hmm. Do you ever give thought as to, like, why these people have preconceived notions about you based on your skin color?
Ignorance and lack of awareness, right? So,
mm-hmm.
This pre-internet days, you know, international news was relatively limited, and their insight was limited.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was just ignorance.
Yeah. So, as you were a little bit older and you were applying to colleges, what drew you to Baylor in Waco, Texas? And did you, once you got to Baylor?
I heard of a cardiac surgeon, Dr. Michael DeBakey, at Baylor College of Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to be a heart surgeon. I wanted to be a heart doctor. So I went to Baylor University undergrad.
Uh-huh. How different was Waco than in Alabama?
Rural, still... it was more ethnically diverse in terms of Waco, large Hispanic population. The school itself was very white, Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
But there was, you know, a fair amount of minorities from big cities in Texas. So, yes, definitely a bigger environment for me.
Yeah. Did you, were you there when the hostage crisis happened in Waco?
Yes. David Koresh.
Yeah, David Koresh. Do you remember anything about that or no?
Well, yeah. It was actually, I take that back. It happened a year after I left. I left in December of 90, and I believe the event happened in 91. So I was in medical school in Dallas.
Hmm.
So I remember exactly what happened, yeah.
Was it big news or?
Absolutely.
Was the community on edge or?
No. It was a fringe, you know, radical, outlier sort of cult,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe 10, 20 miles outside of Waco.
Yeah.
And, the FBI raided their facility, and there were some deaths involved, and,
mm-hmm.
but no, it didn't affect the general community.
Yeah. Were you happy with going to Baylor?
I got a good education and got me into medical school, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was my goal. I was goal-directed, always mm-hmm. goal-directed.
When did you decide to become a cardiologist in life? And
my father had a heart attack when I was a senior in high school, massive heart attack. I saw how my father suffered from the illness. At that point, I wanted to be a heart doctor.
Hmm. Were you always interested?
Always. That was my unifocus.
Hmm. Are you happy with, are you now as a cardiologist practicing for decades, are you happy with where you are right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Incredible profession.
Hmm.
I would do it all over again. Absolutely.
Going through years of schooling in the U.S. education system, did you ever notice any nuances about it? Or did you ever notice...
It's competitive. There are politics as anything, as in life. You have to always, not only is it important to excel in school, but to be well-rounded, communicate well, demonstrate a positive personality.
Mm-hmm.
Not all people will be your friends.
Yeah.
Don't expect it. Don't expect rewards. You know, just do your best. Work hard. Be positive. Be honest.
Mm-hmm. So in Alabama, like going back to your childhood, Alabama is a state with a violent and bloody history involving segregation and race. Did you ever notice the impact of past events in your daily life? For example, in 1963, the Baptist church bombing and the March on Selma. Did you ever feel scared at all regarding the history of Alabama or no?
No, never.
Never? Did you ever think about it growing up?
No.
No?
Just what I learned in the history textbooks, but no.
Mm-hmm. As you grew up in the 70s and 80s, what was your favorite forms of entertainment?
I like music. What? I like sports.
Hmm. What types of music did you listen to?
Oh, what I was back then, you know, rock, pop rock, country.
Yeah.
Rap was just coming on. I listened to some rap.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed Indian music. I enjoyed whatever I could listen to.
Mm-hmm. As far as music specifically, you grew up when Michael Jackson came to prominence. Do you remember his global star power, I guess, and his rise to fame?
In 1983, yep. 1983 Thriller video, yep, absolutely. Uh-huh.
Did you
impact on pop culture.
Uh-huh. Do you remember anything else other specifically from pop culture that you don't really see today that was only there apparent in the 70s and 80s?
No, it was different media music distribution. There was cassette tapes and obviously there's no internet, no iPods, no digital streaming at all. So
So where'd you hear most of your music from?
Radio.
Did you ever watch any sitcom TV shows, evening sitcom TV shows?
Loved them.
Which ones?
Watch with my family. Oh, I'd like the Jeffersons and sitcoms. Oh, there's so many when I start.
Dukes of Hazzard?
Well, it wasn't really a comedy sitcom.
Hmm.
Comedy sitcoms were The Newhart Show, 30-minute sitcoms, multiple sitcoms, I enjoyed.
Yeah. Was that one of your favorite pastimes?
Yep. I enjoyed TV.
Uh-huh. What type of TV did you have?
Color TV.
Just have you ever given thought to how far technology has come in the past 4 or 5 decades from when you grew up to now?
There's always evolution. Even when I grew up in the 80s, compare that to the 60s. I mean, even in 20 years, there was massive technological advancement. And now, 25, 30 years more later, again, another stage of advancement. That's just part of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
Of our society.
What types of problems did you have when you were growing up that don't exist now? Like maybe having to use your phone.
Oh, the Cold War. Obviously there was no cell phones, so you had pay phones. We had limited access to news, limited access to real time information, right? So, a major difference.
Do you think that because of technology today, how connected our society is with the news and how easily people are able to share their opinions online, do you feel that's positive or negative?
Well, people share their opinions without any accountability.
Mm-hmm.
That's a negative, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Before, you can express your opinions personally or directly to that other individual.
Mm-hmm.
People knew who you were. You're accountable for your statements.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no accountability. People can blog and post anything they want without any immediate retribution.
Yeah.
Or accountability or acknowledgement.
Do you think that people are now more absorbed in their phones today and people aren't living their lives, I guess, in the real world as much as they were before?
This is the real world now. The phones have dominated one's daytime activities. You know, you're dependent on your phone for a lot of things now. So, I mean, there's a positive to that. There's obviously negatives in that people have lost the art of personal communication, eye-to-eye contact, verbal communication.
Yeah.
There's definitely a skill to that.
Mm-hmm.
That conveys emotions, affection, conveys different types of emotions that you don't get by typing, you know, text or, post, Instagram posts.
Do you remember the first PC you got or the first computer you saw?
Mm-hmm. Commodore 64, 1983.
Was it like hard for you to use? Did you like using it?
I enjoyed using it. Yep. I learned how to program BASIC and learned what I could, played some games on it.
Yeah, so the internet wasn't established back then.
No.
So what could you do on your computer?
Play games on it, learn programming.
Hmm.
I was wanting to learn programming. So I learned BASIC and some simple programming tips.
Yeah. So when the first mobile phones came out, I don't know when that was specifically, but do you remember when that happened and what your reaction to that was?
Probably 93, 94.
Uh-huh.
I got my first phone in medical school. Yep.
Was it, did you like using it or?
Yeah. It made my life easy.
Mm-hmm.
I could instantly communicate with someone, not wait for a payphone.
Uh-huh. Do you feel like television in the past you enjoyed more than television now in terms of like shows?
No, the quality content's much better now.
Much better now?
Much better now. Absolutely. To stream information and knowledge at a, you know, point of your finger.
Mm-hmm.
Much better now.
Yeah. In your early childhood, Jimmy Carter was president, and he implemented a government founded upon moral principles and condemned policies that supported right-wing monarchies. He pushed for a government that would fight for human rights across the world. Did you or anyone around you have positive or negative opinions on President Carter?
Oh, I had incredible positive opinions. Him as a person.
Mm-hmm.
As a politician, the poor gentleman was simply too honest.
Mm-hmm.
And failed in a lot of economic policies.
Yeah.
But failed in international politics, international policy.
Mm-hmm.
And, Arab-Israeli peace accords were important. How he handled the Soviet Union during the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of positives, but unfortunately, he was not a great domestic politician.
Uh huh. Do you feel as if, like as a person, you said he was a good person. Do you know, like, do you know anything about him specifically, as to
He's an amazing human being. Amazing human being. In our modern generation, one of the greats of our time.
Uh-huh. So in the 1980s, when the AIDS epidemic became a nationwide problem, do you remember the culture of the United States and the U.S.'s response to the AIDS epidemic? And
I was a medical student back then, in the early 90s. We didn't exactly know what AIDS were in terms of a disease. So we didn't know what it was in terms of a disease, so we were treating extremely ill, predominantly gay men.
Mm-hmm.
My medical school education, sick illnesses, but
uh-huh.
we didn't exactly know what it was. But yeah, at that time, we thought it only affected a certain segment of the population.
Uh-huh. Do you remember like seeing people being afraid to be associated, like, or not associated, but be around people that had AIDS? And
Yeah, there was a stigma, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
We didn't know how you get the illness.
Uh-huh. So as a medical student, you didn't have too much information about AIDS at that time?
But I interacted with them. I drew their blood.
Oh, wow. Were you ever scared?
We didn't know what AIDS were. We knew they were sick.
Yeah.
But I would draw their blood every morning, 10 to 15 patients every morning. I'd stick their veins. So.
How many people, like, do you think you saw had AIDS?
Hundreds.
Hundreds?
We had whole wards.
Hmm.
With severe pneumonia, as it turned out, they had AIDS.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when, I think it was Magic Johnson that got AIDS? Do you remember the response to that and how people reacted to that?
Yep. He has that stigma, don't get close to him, whatever, whatnot, yeah.
Uh-huh.
A lot of NBA players just want to play on the same court with him.
Hmm. So, I guess, going back to presidents, as Reagan pushed for a new era of conservatism with the increase of tax cuts and the increase of defense spending, as well as being a pivotal role in ending the Cold War, did you have any positive or negative opinions on him as a president?
Great communicator. I'm not sure yet. He had an impact in the Cold War, but I don't see it as that tremendous, because as the Soviet Union economy was just crumbling, right? They were in a war in Afghanistan. They had no economy, so they were doomed to failure anyway.
Uh-huh.
A lot of Reagan's policies were very simplistic.
Mm-hmm.
Um, with Star Wars. He wanted to create a missile system in mm-hmm. space called
yeah.
Star Wars. It was an abject failure.
Uh-huh.
So, but yeah, I mean, he was a great communicator, very light on substance.
Hmm. So you think he was, he kind of used his background as a established actor?
Yep, absolutely. Great communicator.
Uh-huh. So growing up, were you ever involved politically? Did you ever pay attention to political news or not really?
Absolutely, every day.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised near Huntsville, Alabama, Space City, so.
Yeah.
A lot of Star Wars, missile defense, space spending.
Uh-huh.
Was done, you know, in Alabama, in Huntsville.
Yeah, which kind of leads into my next question. As a kid growing up near the NASA, one of the NASA headquarters in Huntsville, Alabama, you had a fascination with space, and I was wondering, do you remember anything about the Challenger explosion and your first reaction?
I was in 11th grade, 1986, yep.
What happened? Did you find out about it at school, or were you at home?
Yep, I was in American history class. Yeah, we found out that.
Did you, like, have to... Did they pull out the TV and turn to a channel that showed it, or was there an outcome?
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember now.
Do you remember the... Do you remember any aftershocks of it, or not really?
Well, it really was a negative impact on the space program.
Uh-huh. Were you ever fascinated with... Or not fascinated, but were you ever interested in going into the space, space-related careers?
Space. Yeah, I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the science, loved the history of it. It's a big part of our American history.
Uh-huh. Did you ever go to the headquarters in Huntsville?
Uh-huh. All the time.
So, do you remember anything about the Iran-Contra deal? Which was a U.S. arms deal that traded defense weapons,
uh-huh.
helped free hostages yeah. from Lebanese countries, and then funneled the money to support Latin American dictatorships.
Right. Specifically Nicaragua.
Uh-huh.
Contos,
yeah. Do you remember hearing about it or any of the proceedings?
Yes, I saw the hearings. I saw the hearings. The Senate hearings with Oliver North, I saw it all.
Did you feel more distrustful of the government?
No, I already knew a lot of the covert operations were underway.
Mm-hmm.
So, remember that was during the Cold War era.
Uh-huh.
So,
were you ever scared during the Cold War era of possible...
No. My father was in the 60s, yeah. They had bomb shelter raids and, you know, practices.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, Cold War was much more...
Problem.
Realistic,
yeah.
In terms of fear of attack, but no, not in the '80s. No.
Hmm. Did you guys have like a bomb shelter for your neighborhood, or a nearby bomb shelter?
No.
No.
A tornado shelter.
Tornado shelter.
But not bomb shelter.
So, were your opinions on the government ever changed because of this? Like, did you?
No.
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 Okay. So, as a huge sports fan growing up, what was your reaction to the O.J. Simpson infamous car chase in 1994 in his Ford Bronco? Do you remember seeing
it
on TV?
I watched it. It was during the Rockets-Knicks finals.
Uh-huh.
So, yep. Major part of our pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the Bronco chase. I watched it all.
Is he guilty, or do you think he's guilty or not?
Oh, he's guilty. Obviously, evidence proves that.
Do you remember any, as a big sports fan, do you remember any iconic moments that will always stay with you, I guess? In college football, basketball, football?
Yeah. 1980 bowl over the top, Auburn 23, Bama 22, yep.
Where were you when those happened?
I was in ninth grade.
Ninth grade? Were you watching at home?
Yeah.
So, do you think that as far as forms of entertainment in your early childhood and how that stayed throughout your life. Do you ever feel like there's a significance to sports and like music and TV shows that you have in your life?
I put it in perspective.
Yeah, it was a major part of growing up. But, you know, that was just sports.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't my total world.
Yeah. So you talked about... Sorry, what did you say?
My world revolved around my family, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was the most important.
Yeah. So in 1987, President Ronald Reagan said, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Do you remember this moment, which essentially ended the Cold War? And do you remember the aftermath of it?
Actually, yeah, it's very simplistic to say it ended the Cold War because, remember, Soviet Union was already... It was already set in place that there were a failing society, a failing government system, a failing economy.
Mm-hmm.
So his rhetoric, Reagan's rhetoric, I'm not sure had that much of an impact. That's the American bias.
Mm. So you didn't think it was more of a public scene?
Yeah.
Mm. Do you remember any other big political events that happened in the 80s and 90s that stand out to you?
Probably the Berlin Wall coming down, 91.
Uh-huh.
Or 1990, that was big.
Mm-hmm.
That formally sort of tangibly ended the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
Symbolic.
So in terms of more modern history, I guess, when 9/11 happened, do you remember where you were and what you were doing?
Yep, I was in the hospital. I was an interventional cardiology fellow in the cath lab.
So, were you doing a procedure?
Yeah.
So what happened? Did someone tell you what happened?
No. There's no real... There was internet back then, so I went to a computer and saw on the website, CNN website, and then caught up, and then we saw it on TV.
Hmm. So do you feel like as if the world stopped for a day to watch?
In the United States, yeah, the world did too. Yeah, this was unprecedented.
Uh-huh. Do you remember how long you watched on TV, the aftermath?
Well, I had to work. Well, I remember 30 minutes or so. I had to go back to work.
Hmm.
And then in the evening we watched it.
Did it change your opinions on... Do you feel like... If it changed your opinions on American foreign policy, or do you remember any responses were justified?
We failed, right? We had multiple warning signs before 9/11. We failed to go after terrorists. So,
do you think that?
The intensity of response was there, but that was expected.
Do you think that? The Afghanistan or Iraqi war was justified?
But the Iraq war was not. Afghanistan war was.
Why do you think that?
Well, Afghanistan, that's where Osama bin Laden had his base and the Taliban, behind 9/11. So we definitely had to go after him. But Iraq was there's very minimal justification. Intelligence was faulty. Saddam never had weapons of mass destruction.
So, do you think that your experiences in the past have shaped your opinions on any U.S. foreign policy, like specifically in terms of the Iran-Contra deal or 9/11? That hasn't really shaped your opinion.
No. I form my own opinions based on reading and knowledge.
So, I guess to wrap it up, I guess my final questions are involving you and, I guess, America. Do you feel as if you're a very patriotic person and...
Absolutely. It's the best country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect. It has a lot of faults, but by far the most stable economy, most free society in the world. And, as a physician, it's an amazing system. It has faults.
Mm-hmm.
But,
every human is treated with dignity and there's a value of individual life.
All right. Well, thank you for being a part of this interview. I guess that concludes our interview today.
Thank you, Sean Sharma.
Thanks.
All right. Good night.